Today's Mishnah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Masechet Machshirin, wrapping up Perek Gimel with Mishnah Chet. So remember that as long as the water that we're talking about is mechuber to the karka, it's never going to be machshir. It needed to be separated from that river with a machshava at the beginning, and then that would be enough. If you remember, in the first Mishnah in Machshirin made it very clear that once the water was taken out l'rotzein, then even if afterwards, when the particular peros get wet with that water, it was not l'rotzein, but the original taking it off of its marker was b'rotzein, that's enough to make it be machshir. And we had all kinds of variations on that in the first perek. If there was rainwater that had fallen in a tree, and you shake the tree, and you try to get the water off, then that water is machshir if you want that water, and so on. Okay, so now we've got an interesting situation where the water that you want is actually in a river. So if it's in a river, then it cannot be machshir, unless, of course, you want it specifically to be there even when you take it out of the river. So let's imagine a case where you've got the period of the year, which is called the Kadim period. The Kadim period is the time when you have all of the most vicious weather. So it's very hot. Ruach Kadim, Harishid, you remember all of that, that it just causes everything to crack. And as the Gemara puts it, it even takes out the handles from the hose because the wood is simply dried out completely. So sure enough, you've got your tire, which in those days, of course, was made out of wood, and it has been very badly affected by the heat. So you want to close up the cracks that have appeared in the wheel, or in a boat, right? This is done in a boat, too. If a boat has been left out of the water and cracks develop in the boat, the way to seal those cracks is to lower the boat under the water level, let it sit there for a couple of days or weeks until the wood swells and it closes up the cracks. So in this case, the guy puts his tires or the kli habakar, things that were attached to the bakar, maybe his plow, also had developed cracks in it, and it's very hot. It's Bishat HaKadim. He puts it into the water in order to close it up. Bishvil Shiyochotsu. So then, when you take these things out, you still want that mayim to be there. And because of that, it's called Ki Yutan Dumya Dechi Itein, because he wanted very much for that water to be incorporated in what it is that he put into the river. Let's say somebody was morid behema lishtot. You now want your animal to drink. Well, when it drinks, there's no way that it's not going to get wet around its mouth. It's not drinking through a straw. So, hamayim ha'olim b'fia b'chiyutan, if it's got water that's on its mouth, even the outside of its mouth, that was included in what you wanted because it's included innately in the fact that you want your animal to drink in the same way that it's included innately. If you wanted your wagon wheel to become whole, it means you want that water in the wagon wheel, in which case even the water that wasn't part of what he's drinking, it just was on the outside of his mouth, is an innate part of drinking. And therefore, it's still considered to be ki itein. Similar, kiyutan, similar to a kiyitain. However, what about if the animal had put its feet into the water in order to lower its head into the water, so it went in a little bit deeper, and now it comes out and there's water on its feet? Well, obviously it's possible to take a drink without getting your feet wet. Now, the fact that this animal is more comfortable moving into the water, that doesn't mean that you wanted specifically that the animal should put its feet into the water. And therefore, that is not considered to be a necessarily until we have an indication, even according to the Tanakhama, until we have an actual indication that that's what you want, we can't call it a makshir. But suppose you brought the animal into the water, not only so that it would drink, but you wanted it to be clean. So, im chishev shiyutchu raglea, afolim baraglea, b'chi yutan. Obviously, if you wanted it to be wet, so then it would be b'chiyutan. But there are particular situations where you don't necessarily have to have a machshava, and we say that by definition, without wanting the animal's feet to get clean, it would still be considered to be l'ritzon echa, that the animal's feet were wet. And when is that? So that would be b'sha'at hayachaf v'hadayish. So hayachaf, there's a machlokas over here, because, I mean, yachaf b'pashtas means it's just barefoot. I mean, yeah, I think the last time I saw an animal walking, it was actually barefoot. Can you imagine? But so there is, according to some of the Mefarshim, a foot disease, which is called yachaf. So that it's basically extreme irritation requires the water. It could be that the yachaf, I'm just suggesting, I didn't find this in any of the Mefarshim, but I have found it in the practical dealing with animals, that if there is actually an infection of the foot, which is between the hoof, and it starts to leak pus from around the place where the hoof is attached to the actual foot, in that case, the animal can lose the entire keratin, and that would cause it to be literally yachaf, because it wouldn't have its own hooves to walk on. And that's a fatal condition for a horse. So you'd have to shoot the horse. So what they do in those circumstances is they have the animal stand in cold water that continues to flow over that for a long time, and that can sometimes cure, at least prevent the hoof from falling off until the infection goes away. So maybe that's what it means by yachaf. That's my own, you're giving a possibility. It's a very strange word. So anyway, it certainly means when there's a problem and the animal's foot needs to be in the water. Or it's the time of the dayish. So if it's the time of the dayish, that is very heavy work. It's a very big strain on the foot of the animal, and it makes the foot sore. That's how some learn. Others learn b'shas hadayish means, since you're going to be using the hooves of these animals to be threshing your tvua, you obviously want them to be clean. And therefore, it means b'shas hadayish. If the animal is brought into the water, you do not have to indicate that that's in order to clean it. That's very clear. And because of that, the water is always moksha l'kapal tuma. It's li'olam tame, whether you say it or not. So if you take, during the time of the yacha for the dayish, you take an animal that's got a sore foot, so to speak, into the water, you don't need to indicate that it's for that purpose. The act is an act of kiyite. Now, the reason that that is particularly important, beyond just the question of whether we assume it without dibur, is nogea the makshava of a katan. Someone who doesn't have das. So the Gemara in Chulin says that yesh lo maase aval ein lo makshava ubemakshavto nikeret mitoch maasav. If it's clear what an intent is, because of the maisa that would have no real explanation under the circumstances other than the makshava, then that makshava becomes an act rather than das. Remember, the meaning of das in general, as we've pointed out at least 100,000 times, but the meaning of das in general is not an intellectual das. It is a connection between the intellectual and the actual act. That connectedness is usually, from the time of Gan Eden, connected to psychosexual abilities. And that's why you need to be of the age of puberty to have das, because otherwise you don't really connect to anything. The only connections we have are the connections that were given to us physically in Gan Eden. So what about, however, if it actually culminates in an act? Then we don't need the connection to the das, because the das lies in the action. So suppose a katan would move an animal in the Beis HaMikdash from the Dorum to the Tzofai for no discernible reason, and would do shchita, and it was an animal of Kodesh Kadashim. So I would say over there, he's obviously being mechashev the dinim of shchita, right? Because, I mean, why else did he bring it to Tzofai? In this case, the same thing should be true, because it's clear from a maisa. So now, if you bring it down, and you want it to clean the feet, so then the feet are considered to have water which is able to be machshir. But in that case, if a cheresh, shota, or katan took an animal into the water for a drink, and they wanted the feet to be clean, it wouldn't matter, because their wanting the feet to be clean is not considered to be an act of das, because they are prepubescent or have other problems with their das, right? But in the event it's true, yesh lehem ma'aseh, but ein lehem machshava, and therefore in the same event, if you just brought it down for the animal to drink, then it would not be enough for it to get its foot wet, because you say, I want the feet to be clean. But in the event that it's actually the time of the dayish, where over there it's clear, that's why you're bringing that horse into the water, because you want it to get well, in that case, it's elf, even if you don't have machshava, they do have a maisa. Okay. Hadran Allah. So we now have our third parak of Makshirin, and we move on into the fourth. In this case, sorry?
If with the katan.
So therefore, in this case, if it was Bishas Ayacha for Bishas Hadayish, it would be Makshavtam Nikaras Mitoch Maaseya. That seems to be the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That's why we're bringing in the difference between Yesh Lamais Ve'en Lemakshav here specifically. Okay, so Hadron Aloch Perek Sak.